Excited to start worshiping with you this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Fred Douglas. I am the youth director here at Westview. And to all of our guests, I want to give you a very special welcoming this morning. Now, to start off, I want everybody to stand up and greet somebody. Love on your neighbor a little bit. I want you to reach out to somebody you probably don't know and just say good morning. Say hi to them. Awesome, that's great. You guys can take a seat whenever you're ready. Awesome. I'm glad we were able to do that. So, this is our second week in our series titled Man in the Mirror. Now, this is a 5-week study over the book of James. And now James, who was also the stepbrother of Jesus, was also the pastor of this church in Jerusalem. And all throughout James, his main message is that faith without deeds, without good works, is dead. But also in James, we see him addressing the one person that we have to live with our entire lives. And no, I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm not talking about your children or your siblings or your parents either. No, I'm talking about the person that you look at every single morning when you wake up. I'm talking about the man in the mirror. I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about me. And this week, Pastor Brian didn't want to speak on this subject, so he gave it to me. So we're going to dive right into it today, okay? So let me ask you something. What do you see when you look in the mirror? What do you see when you look in the mirror? Now, for myself, aside from seeing a tall, dark, and handsome young man with a great jump shot and 21 years of great life experience, I see my friends and my family when I look in the mirror. I see my friends and my family. And that may sound a little strange at first, but if you think about it, it makes sense. Let me ask you, who are you most comfortable with in this life? Who do you spend most of your time with? Who do you ask to grab a cup of coffee? Who do you invite over for game night? Who do you ask to watch the big game with you? Who do you go to the movies with? Who do you socialize with? Who do you want your children to be friends with? My guess is that your answer to all of these questions are your friends and your family. But why? I know you're thinking this, so go ahead and ask me. Go ahead and say, but why, Fred? Well, thank you for asking. I believe that we hang out with the people that we're most comfortable with because they're the people that are the most like us. They're the people who are the most like us. So when you look in the mirror, my guess is that you see these people. For example, when I look in this mirror, I see my dad. Aside from the fact that I look just like him, we both can talk about basketball and love to play basketball all day long. In fact, we're super happy that LeBron went to the Lakers, by the way. Yeah, exactly. I love it right here. That's my dude, all right? But also when I look in this mirror, I see my mom and the fact that we both have a passion for students and pouring the love of Christ and just knowledge into them. My mom's a teacher, by the way. She's not a youth minister. And also when I look in this mirror, I see my sisters, because when we tell a funny story, we can't get through it without busting up laughing, so much so that you can't understand what we're saying half of the time. But it's okay. It's funny to us. And also when I look in this mirror, I see one of my friends, because we care way too much about how we look sometimes, what we're wearing, how many shoes we have, who looks better, you know, it's crazy. And also when I look in this mirror, I see two of my friends, and you're going to make a lot of fun of me for this one, but we really got into watching WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment, all right? It's all fake, is really dumb, but I love it, all right? And I could tell you many more friends and family that I see when I look in this mirror. But the point is, when we look in the mirror, we reflect the people who we spend the most time with. When we look in the mirror, we reflect the people that we spend the most time with. Now, many of you are probably asking yourselves, well, what's wrong with that? I know you're asking us, so go ahead and ask me, what's wrong with that, Fred? You know, it's funny that you would ask that. There's really nothing wrong with it. There's really nothing wrong with hanging out with your friends and your family. I mean, these are the people that lift you up, the people who encourage you and push you and motivate you to be the best you that you can be. I'm guessing that they've probably gone through a lot of good and a lot of hard things with you. There's nothing wrong with hanging out and spending time with your friends and your family. Don't think that I'm saying that. Unless, of course, that's all you hang out with. If all you do is hang out with your friends and with your family and the people that you're comfortable with, then yes, there is something wrong with that. Why? Because Christ called us to do something greater. Christ called us to do something greater. And we see this starting in James chapter 2, verse 1. I'm using the NIV version. For those of you who would like to follow along, it's also on the overhead. But I'm starting in James chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. So a little background on this text. James is preaching in this church in Jerusalem, in a community that is very poor. In fact, 90% of Jerusalem at this time was very poor. And surrounding this poor church is this group of Sadducees. Now the Sadducees, they're this very wealthy group of religious leaders that were pretty much against everything that the church was trying to do. They were constantly oppressing them, attacking them, against them. And mainly, the main problem with this group, with this church, is that they were preaching and teaching about Jesus. So, as you can probably guess, there's a lot of division and segregation in this community. In this case, the rich stuck with the rich, and the poor stuck with the poor. Because, as you can probably guess, when there's division, the people in that community stick to the social groups that they're most comfortable with. So again, in this book, in James, in Jerusalem at this time, the rich stuck with the rich, and the poor stuck with the poor. But do you want to know the sad part? This isn't just a piece of history. This isn't just a Bible story that happened some 2,000 years ago. No, because we see this in our society today. We see segregation and separation and disunity in our society today. Have you ever heard the phrase birds of a feather flock together? Most of you probably have. I don't know where I first heard it from. Probably my mom, because she says really cliche things like that a lot. But it really makes sense. Because what it means is people of the same sort or with the same tastes and interests will be found together. Well, in that case, when looking at America today, a lot of the time, people of the same social class flock together. And see, people of the same economic class flock together. And people with the same educational backgrounds, they flock together. And people of the same race, they usually flock together. People with the same upbringings are usually found flocking together. And people with the same struggles, they can be found together. In other words, we tend to stick to what we know. We tend to stick to what's comfortable, what's easy. And it's not common in our society today, and even in our churches sometimes, to see people reach out to someone who might look a little different than them. Why? Because it's uncomfortable. Because when we look in the mirror, oftentimes we don't see anybody else. Often, when we look in this mirror, we see ourselves. Why? Because it's comfortable. Because it's easy. Because oftentimes, if we look at somebody else and they don't fit in our little box, in our social groups, if they don't fit in our mirror, in our reflection, we don't see them. Even when we're looking right at them sometimes, oftentimes we look right through them. And all we're doing is showing favoritism. Showing partiality. The very thing that James warned us about in the very first book, or in the very first verse, when he says, do not show favoritism. But in verses 8 through 9, James gives a very clear warning. James 2, 8 through 9, it says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. If when you look in this mirror and you don't just see you, but you see the body of Christ, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. But verse 8, love your neighbor as yourself, that's our aim. But more than that, which brings us to our main point for today, following Christ requires us to cross the dividing lines and meet people where they're at. Following Christ requires us to cross the dividing lines and meet people where they're at. Why? Because all throughout the Bible, all throughout the New Testament, that's what Jesus did, and that's what he taught others to do. Think about it. In the Bible, we see Jesus hanging out with the rich and with the poor. We see Jesus with the holy and with the unholy. We see him with the righteous and with the unrighteous. One day, we see Jesus eating dinner with Pharisees. But then the next day, he's saving a prostitute from getting stoned to death. We see Jesus hanging out and healing the daughter of the very wealthy Jairus, who was one of the religious leaders in the town. But we also see him going over to the house of Zacchaeus, a no good tax collector. And we also see him hanging out and engaging with the blind, with the lame, with women subjected to bleeding. He's even hanging out with outcasts, with lepers, people who were not even allowed to be touched because they were so unclean. People far to the right, far to the left, he's hanging out with. Jesus showed no partiality. Never was there a hint of favoritism. Yes, he had his disciples, but that didn't even stop him from crossing the lines and meeting people where they're at, crossing the lines and showing love to whoever crossed his path. And in fact, he taught his disciples to do the same. Why? Because Jesus realized that when he looked in this mirror, he didn't want to just see himself. When he looked in this mirror, he didn't want to just be comfortable. Why? because he knew that heaven's mirror was nothing like that. He knew that in heaven, most of the people there will not look like you and I. No. When he looked in the mirror, he wanted to see the big picture. He wanted to see all nations from every background, from every economic and social class, from every race, with every struggle, with everything you can think of coming together. Because there is no distinction between us. That's what part of Jesus' ministry was about. Bringing all the disunity together. As it says in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor is there male, nor is there slave nor free, neither is there male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. In other words, we need to love our neighbor, even if we don't see ourselves when we look at them. Why? Because Jesus looked at all of us, even though he didn't see us, even though we don't look like him. And still, he died so that we all may live. Now, this isn't just an issue regarding favoritism and loving our neighbors. This is really has to do with obedience and acting according to God's will. Really, this is a heart issue. A lot of the time, we know the law, but choose not to follow it. A lot of the time, we know that we're not supposed to show favoritism or partiality, that we're supposed to reach out to all people and show love to all, whoever crosses our paths, but yet oftentimes we still choose to stay comfortable and to look the other way. But a little further down in verse 2, or in chapter 2, starting in verse 14, James says this: "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing for their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." Our faith without action is dead. So in this case, that means we need to actively pursue those who may not look like us. We need to actively pursue those who may not look like us, because Christ commanded us to. Now, what does that look like? When we see someone we don't know, regardless of what they look like, say hi. Invite people from different races and different cultures into your home. But if you want to, and I encourage you to, take it a step further. Go to their homes. If you notice in the Bible, Jesus never really had a home. And I think this was on purpose, because you constantly see him reaching out to others, engaging with others, inviting himself to other people's homes. He didn't want people to just come to him. He wanted to meet others where they were at. And finally, don't judge others by the clothes they wear, where they live, how much money they have, or what they look like. Look at them the same way Christ looks at you, how he looks at me, how he looks at all of us here, with love and acceptance. So today, I want you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. Do you see yourself? Or do you see the body of Christ when you look in the mirror? Do you see yourself? Or do you see the body of Christ in your mirror? As I invite the ushers forward for the offering, will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for looking at us through a heavenly lens. Lord, if you looked at us the same way that you saw you, none of us would ever be enough. None of us would ever be worthy of your love and gaining eternal life with you. Lord, I pray that each and every single one of us here today, myself included, that we are able to see your people through your eyes, showing no favoritism, no partiality, that there be no more division, no more disunity, but we will be unified. Lord, we love you, and we praise you, and we trust you with everything that we have, and it's in your heavenly and holy name that I pray. Amen.
Malachi 3:6-12. I, the Lord, do not change. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. In 1983, Steve and I began tithing. He heard about it on the radio, and that was the beginning of our tithing journey. Ever since then, we have tithed on everything we've earned, everything we've received into our household. And that's just been our way. The Lord has watched over us and provided for our needs through all kinds of circumstances. When I began to collect Social Security last year and I went half-time at my job, my income at my job, of course, decreased by about half. And I thought, do I tithe on Social Security? I thought, well, I've already tithed on it because I tithed on it before it was taken out of my paycheck over the years. So I thought, well, I think I'm fine, and I just put it in savings and I forgot about it. Over the years, we've had what we call a household account, and we put a set amount into the household account to pay our bills. I pay the tithe out of there, buy food, whatever. It all comes out of there. One month, Steve brought me the check for the household account, and I went to put it in, and I realized, oh, I have quite a bit left over from last month. That's nice. And I put it in there. Well, then the next month, when he gave me a check for the household account, and I looked at it, I thought, I have even more left over this month. So I thought, well, I don't really need it here. I'll put that in savings. So I put it in savings. And then the third month, he gives me the check, and I'm looking, I'm like, I still don't need it here. So I thought, well, I'll put it in our Reach account that we use for giving to the Reach campaign. I was just kind of blown away by the fact that, how did this money stretch so far? It doesn't even make sense. And I was seeking the Lord about it, just praying and thinking, well, what are you trying to show me here, God? At the same time, we were hearing at church about how giving had fallen off and we weren't quite making our bills, and we're a family. We need to figure out a way to pay the bills. So I was just like, should I be doing more? Should I do something here? And what I realized is that I can tithe on that Social Security, and I should tithe on that because it's what's coming into me now. I'm not going to hold back from the Lord anymore because he's not held back from me. So I'd like to challenge you all to look at your own hearts and look at your own giving and see if, are you holding back from the Lord? His word in Malachi 3 continues, and it says, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty.
So, as we close today, I want everybody to stand up again. I want you all to love on your neighbors. I want you to show no partiality, to show no favoritism, to reach out to everybody who crosses your path. So I want to end today the same way we started today. I want you guys to interact with each other, love on your neighbor, get to know your neighbor a little bit more. And then what we're doing inside these walls, I want us to do outside these walls into the world as well. Have a great day.